someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. As you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi, the word will work wonders in you and for you.
Romans 13:8-10. Every day is given to us for improvement, for development. Adam's downfall was as a result of spiritual immaturity. When he was created in an adult body. But that did not take away from the fact that he was a baby. If you met Adam 3 days after he was created, you would have met him in a full-grown adult body. But his spirit and his mind were only 3 days old. So Satan was much older than he was. And found it very easy, took advantage of his ignorance, deceived him and flawed him. So when God will bring the last Adam, he introduced him as a baby. And gave him time to grow. He was sinless, like the first one was sinless. But this one needed time to grow. So Luke 2:52 says that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and was in favor with God and with men. He increased, he grew, he developed. So being in church, over the space of a year, 2 years, 3, 5, 10, should make a world of difference in a person's life. Am I right? We've got to be changing. We've got to be changing. Romans chapter 13 from verse 8. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Love is the foundation for sound character. Our commitment to work in love is the foundation for sound character. Don't commit murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't covet your neighbor's things. Don't steal. He said, look, you can summarize everything. And that's exactly what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22. When in verse 35, somebody asked him, Master, which law is the greatest? Which commandment is the greatest? He said, this is the greatest commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul and all your strength. And the second one is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. He said there in verse 40, on these two hang all the law and the prophets. The whole Bible hangs on those two sentences. Really, you would think there that Jesus was stating two laws. When you read 1 John chapter 4, then the apostle John explains that it was one statement that Jesus made. They were not two separate statements. It It was one statement. Let me pick it up. In 1 John 4:21, it says, "And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also." That's how Apostle John interpreted what Jesus said. So when Jesus, when they said, "Which is the greatest commandment?" Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and soul. The second one is like it." That's what he said there. In other words, the second one is an expression of the first one. It's a continuation. It's on the same pedestal. You must love your neighbor as yourself. So the Apostle John here says, this is my understanding of what the Lord said. Because in verse 20, he said, if someone says, "I love God," and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? I'm serious. In other words, there is a direct connection between your love for God and your love for man. You cannot love God and not love man. That's what they're saying. You cannot. Is there anybody who says that he loves God but does not love man? He said he's a liar. It's easy to say that we love God because nobody can see him. So when you cheat him, nobody will know. When we neglect him, it is not obvious. When we don't meet his needs, it's not obvious because he's not a physical person. But we don't realize that he has chosen to express himself in the material world through human beings. However crazy a human being may be as a sinner, his spirit came out from God. The day God breathed into Adam, that was the day he released you there. That's why he gave the man that name. The word Adam means mankind. Mankind, one man. If you met Adam on Gold Street in the Garden of Eden and you shook his hand, you would have been shaking hands with billions of people. The spirits of all human beings were deposited into that man. That's why when he sinned and the nature of God left him and the nature of the devil entered him, that nature corrupted all of us together. He was carrying all of us out. So, every human being came out from God. That's why God can't just take his eyes off this planet. He's here. Every human being is an extension of God. Every human being. He says here, listen, your interaction with God, the presence of God in your life, the best way to describe it, to see it, to experience it, is through love. Anyone who loves God must love his brother also. In fact, the word "must" is in italics. I don't know if it is in your Bible. It's not the same character. Which suggests that that "must" was not in the original text. The translators put it there to make the grammatical expression correct. So sometimes it helps to take it out and see what it would mean. If we take it out, then it says, "And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God, love his brother also." So it's very easy, oh. Sing, "I love you, Lord. I just want to be where you are." But you don't want to be where your brother is. "Dwelling daily in your presence." "There is none like you." Ah. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Mm-hmm.
I will search all eternity. See, that's why our Christianity is very useless and not practical. It is vague. It is vague. It gives us an opportunity to escape into a world that is unreal, where we can relate with people who won't challenge us and challenge our character. Excuse me. God is sitting next to you. Hey, you met God today inside the bus. You didn't know. The love walk is the foundation for sound character. When you read in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, the description of the fruit of the Spirit, you will see there that the first one is what? Love. Everything else is foundation of that love. Serious. If you don't have love, the others, forget them. You won't have peace. Everything else is an expression of love. That's why they are not described as the fruits of the Spirit. If you check very well, it's not in the plural. It's in the singular. Now the fruit of the Spirit. So they are qualities of the same personality, of the same essence. They are different forms of expression of the same factor. Love. Okay. If you read 1 Corinthians 13, the last verse of 1 Corinthians 12, which is verse 31, the Apostle Paul says, covet earnestly, desire earnestly the best gifts of the Spirit. He said, yet I will show you a more excellent way. Then chapter 13 begins, and the whole chapter is on love. Now you take verses 4 to 8, read them closely, and compare them to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, which we describe as the fruit of the Spirit. They are the same thing. Same. So, the foundation for our character is loving people genuinely. Without love, in fact, in Galatians 5 verse 14, the Bible says that love is the fulfillment of the law. See, if you walk in love, you won't sin. I tell you, you can pray and fail. You cannot love and fail. So, without love, our faith will be frustrated. See, as I say this tonight, I am conscious of the fact that if we share these practical dimensions to love and we adjust our lives, the breakthroughs that some people have been praying and looking for a long time will suddenly drop into their lives. We don't realize a lot of time that just a little adjustment of the spirit, of the heart, can make a world of difference in our lives. God wants to anoint us, wants to baptize us with power. His problem is with our heart, our motives. It's not going to bless somebody, for example, who is walking in unforgiveness. Jesus already said it clearly. If you come to the altar, you're about to offer sacrifice, you remember that you have something against your brother. He said, leave your sacrifice there and go back. Jesus said so. Now, we don't offer animals these days. We pray, we worship, we sing. Jesus said, once you start the worship song, and you remember, you are still holding grudge against someone, he said, stop singing. Go and resolve that case, because your singing won't go beyond the ceiling. See that? So, just by forgiving somebody, the breakthrough can land. So that's why I am passionate about this one. We don't usually emphasize it, but this is where the power is. In Hebrews chapter 1 verses 8 and 9, It says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is the scepter of righteousness. You love righteousness and you hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has done what? Anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. So there's a connection between the anointing and my lifestyle. There is, sir. There is. So, Galatians chapter 5 verse 6 says it's not circumcision that matters, nor uncircumcision. It is faith that works through love. Faith working through what? So, our faith will be more effective when we walk in love. Am I right? Okay. I'm believing God for a car. I'm believing for what? Once there's an element of, you know, secretly in your heart somewhere along the line, I will show them. That's why you want a car. It's not to make your movement faster and more convenient. That's part of it. One of the major issues also is that you want to show somebody something. God has no business with that. Our faith works through love. Lack of love is the proof of our immaturity. In John 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Ah. So the greatest distinguishing feature of Christians is not financial breakthrough. Oh God, do it for me so that they will know that the God that I serve is alive. Interestingly, see, God is more interested in how you respond to the situation than you're getting out of it. Because you're getting a job, you're getting a car, you're getting money, does not prove anything. Because fraudsters also get cars. So the fact that, hey, God landed you brand new Benz, E-Class, shege. That's it. Tear nylon. Then go green. Nothing. Yahoo, Yahoo guys bought E-Class a long time ago. What's the big deal? But I'll tell you this. There's one thing the Yahoo, Yahoo guy does not have. He cannot love. If he did, he would not swindle somebody. Am I right? This is how people will know that you are my disciples. If you do what? Have love. The greatest distinguishing feature of the life of a Christian is the capacity for love. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. Now listen to me. We think it is power, science, miracles. But Jesus said that on the last day, some people will see him and say, did we not work signs and wonders in your name? Did we not prophesy in your name? And he will tell them, hell, straight, I don't know you. So, if working signs and wonders still is not the greatest distinguishing feature. It's the love work, sir. Now, that love work is the secret to the signs and wonders. Because if you really, really have compassion in your heart, when you see somebody in pain, you will be in pain. And it's that compassion that will drive you to push into God to draw the resources that will help you to cure that pain. That's when the power of God works through you. And that's when However much that power may be working through you, it will not destroy you. Because the love serves as a balance, a cushion for that power. You'll be able to handle it. So let me pick, because really my heart desires to pick on practical things that we need to do. Okay? In our relationships with one another, with other people, how love is manifested practically. If you start from Philippians chapter 2, I love this passage of scripture. See, they may sound like religious rules, but they are not. They are the secrets of life. If God says to you, the most powerful thing you could do is to love somebody else, you had better believe it. The secret to your success, the greatest secret to your success in life is what God said. You will never find any superior wisdom anywhere else. Check this out. Philippians chapter 2. I read verses 1 to 4. It says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection, and mercy. Look at those words. Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And I love verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Do what? Let each esteem others better than himself. That's a serious matter. Let me tell the person sitting next to you, you are better than I am. That statement, if some husbands will take it to heart, their marital problems will be solved. In this African culture, where a woman is inferior, she's a tool. The man is the main thing. A woman is an addition, fringe benefit. As long as you make her feel worthless, you don't realize you are creating serious problems for yourself. Because interestingly, a research was carried out in the US several years ago. If you read the book, What Wives Wish Their Husbands Knew About Women by James Dobson. It's there. A research was carried out by psychologists in the United States. They were trying to identify the challenges that women have, and they tried to rank them. The research showed us that the number one battle that every woman has is with low self-esteem. It's not anybody's fault. It's a product of sin. But the number one battle, most of them can't even identify it like that themselves. But the truth is that the average woman battles with a low self-esteem. And God gave Adam the power to name her. That means that a man has the power to boost his wife's self-esteem. Whatever he calls her, that's what she is. A man's words affect a woman. If a man says to a woman, hey, see how you are looking. That's it. Hey, that is it. She will look at the mirror 2,002 times. Apostle Paul says, let each person esteem others better than himself. Treat people with dignity. Treat people with honor. Value people. Aside from women's issues, there's a reason why the average person in our society struggles to become a big man. Because if you're not a big man in this society, they will oppress you. You will suffer for it. So they will do something to you that will pain you. You're trying to move close to a big man. One policeman will use baton to beat your fingers or beat your hand. Where are you going? Somebody will embarrass you somewhere for not being a fat man with a pot belly. You see how all of us have to sput. Put on heavy clothes. It's because in this society, you say you're a rich man, you are now putting on t-shirts and jeans and loafers. Now they will drive you away, long time, drive you away. I read an interview that this musician, Yinka Adefele, had with the Punch. And he described how one day his car broke down on the road to Ikorodu. And the tire went flat. And while somebody was helping him to change the tire, he got down in his wheelchair and was trying to roll into a petrol filling station to stay under the shade. They drove him away. Hey, we don't want beggars here. Go. They didn't know who he was. It was after they knew who he was that they now began to apologize. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that the day God sends an angel to you, you will not drive the angel away. Let each person esteem the other person to be better than himself. I have not seen any sane person that likes to hang around someone who hurts his or her esteem. You cannot succeed in relationships if you don't treat people with honor and with dignity and with respect. Every human being has value that is unquantifiable, because there's a measure of God in each person, sir. When you read the New Testament very carefully, if you do what the New Testament says, you can't fail. Because at the end of the day, you will treat each person the way you should treat God. Our country is the way it is because leaders believe they are superior to the people that they are leading. If you will have sense as a leader, do this verse. If you become a leader in this country, esteem the people you are leading in that local government or that office or that state as being better than you are. Once you have the mindset that anything you think you deserve, they also deserve it. They deserve even better. You are touching some powerful spiritual gold veins. The power of creativity will be unleashed on your life. When you look at the average Nigerian and feel, these people don't deserve this kind of life they are living. They deserve a higher life, a better life. Their destinies are better than this. I'm telling you, you are beginning to touch a very powerful spiritual gold vein. That's part of our own secret here. The reason why we've been doing our facilities for 3 straight years non-stop is because we have seen what is normal for people in other parts of the world. And we believe that Nigerians don't deserve anything less. We could have used cheaper facilities, bought cheaper buses, or rented older ones, wretched ones, the ones that Nigerians deserve, the Molues. Some of the things we're doing don't make sense in this economy. What we spent putting on installing the air conditioning system was almost exactly what we used to buy the whole facility in the first place.
And naturally, it doesn't make sense. Because that money will buy another facility elsewhere. But we're running on a different principle. And it's the fact that the people who come here, being Nigerians and being children of God, deserve the highest quality. Money must never be more valuable to you than human beings. This country will remain married to mediocrity until it believes that each Nigerian deserves the highest quality of life, and there's no amount of money that is too much to spend on one person. If it was only you that was in the world a sinner, Jesus would still have died, sir. If God valued you so much that he gave the life of his only son, that's an expression of the value that he has placed over your life. That's why Romans 8:32 says, if he did not spare his only begotten son, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? There's nothing else that God cannot give you. He's already demonstrated the value that he has placed on your life. He gave his only begotten son. But see how many sons he has gotten in return. That's the secret of prosperity, sir. Give your best resources to one person. An American will be dangerously patriotic. You know why? If they hear that one American life is in danger, there is nothing they cannot deploy. No amount of money they are not willing to spend to save that one life. Am I right? Even those of us who are not Americans, we know it. They are willing to deploy aircraft, deploy ships, deploy whatever, personnel, equipment, to save one American life. Interestingly, the way you treat yourself is the way other people will treat you. The value you place on yourself is the value other people will place on you. That's why, because they have placed value on themselves, all other countries agree to place that value on them. You are very careful before you touch an American. So if this country won't place value on people, shouldn't the church place value on them? And if the people who are not believing will not place value on one another, we should place value on people. So if you live your life like that, you do your business like that, you do your job like that, I mean you live in the neighborhood like that, you should be the best neighbor. Am I right? All the law is fulfilled in this one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. Verse 4 of Philippians 2. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. So we have to break free from selfishness and self-centeredness. When you walk in love, see what Jesus did now. A young man making waves, powerful, successful, famous. And then before, he didn't even have time to enjoy the breakthrough. 33 and a half died. For you. For me. He gave away his success for you and for me. But he got it back, didn't he? On a higher level. I'm saying the most powerful secrets of life are in the Word of God. You see, the reason why you have many ex-millionaires in this country, many ex-powerful people, they were powerful. Everybody was flocking their office. Loads of people at their reception. Just a matter of years, they are broke and begging around. The reason why the success of many people were truncated is because when the moment was critical, they didn't know how to give that success away to empower other people. Then they became stranded because Jesus said, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains the way it is. But if it dies, it will bring forth what? Much fruit. Give away
this is your level of success, it will create a higher level for you. Live a life of sacrifice. Live for other people. Watch out for the interests of other people. See, all this quarreling about the fact that somebody parked in your car space. Quarreling over the fact that the clothesline outside, somebody is using your own. You have already divided the line. Okay? There are two lines. There are four flats. Half. Somebody is using three quarters. You are now quarreling over that. Give your half away. God will give you a whole house of your own. Amen. Luke chapter 6. A few more of these practical thoughts. From verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Wow. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. Fantastic. Don't return hatred for hatred. Give love in return. Give love in return. If you hate, you have come down to the level of the person hating you. It's an invitation to failure. Love. He says, to him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. That verse was not written for Elegosia. Hey, somebody sounds you on the right cheek. They should turn the other one. We don't understand what Jesus was saying. That slap is a temptation for your demotion. It is, sir. He is asking you to prove who is more mature, who is more powerful, who is on a higher level, sir. Once you fail in the love walk, you failed. Now, Jesus was not expecting that the person who slapped you on the right cheek should now slap the left one when you are the one who offered it. You have proved something to the person. The reaction that the person was expecting, because the person is looking for justification to enter into strife with you. You have denied the person of that right. He slapped the first one, you turned the other. You are proving that you are more responsible. Because responsibility is responsibility. You have control over your emotions and your thoughts. That's what you're expressing. Somebody says, well, Jesus said if they slap the right cheek, turn the left one. But he didn't say what you should do after they slapped the left one. All that is excuse for spiritual immaturity. You are looking for opportunity to beat somebody. It's the same way Peter asked, Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? He really thought seven. He thought that was a lot to forgive somebody seven times. Jesus said, I will spoil your arithmetic for you. I don't say to you seven times, 70 times seven. Say, I give up. Stop counting. That's what he said. There should be no limit to this love. God's love knows no limit. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask him back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also to do to them likewise. Initiate love, good character. Take the action. Then I love this. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. You're still on the same level. Say, but love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be what? Great. This is where the secret is, sir. I remember when we were just about starting our church, we had to leave our official accommodation in our former pastorate. And we were searching for accommodation. This estate agent, got a deposit from us. How much was it then? 54,000 naira? 54,000 naira. 54,000. 1995. Oh God. It was almost everything that we had. It was worth millions. And then eventually we didn't take the accommodation anymore. Refund our money. He refused. I went again and again and again to his office. Not a dime. Somebody says, sir, let's take Mopo to deal with him, throw him into the... I said, you don't understand. Hey, you are looking at us the way we are today. By the time God has done what he's showing us he will do, they should not hear that we're doing such a thing. Over how much? Leave him. God is bigger than that. Interestingly, he was the one who found another accommodation for us. We flowed. It's very interesting. He had forgotten that he was owing us money. So at the end of the transaction, he wanted to collect his money. Agency. The agency was 27,000 naira. He said, so, sir. I said, remove it from... There was no point quarreling. God will give you your money back. Walk in love. But dash him, the rest. Let it go. So how much is the remaining 27,000 naira today now? Some people don't know what they have lost in fighting. Once you begin to fight for yourself, God steps out and leaves you to resolve the issue all by yourself. And he said, let it go. Let it go. Good. Verse 38. Oh, sorry. 35. But love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be what? Merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. 37. Judge not. Don't criticize. Don't run other people down. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. When you're a critical person, who cuts down other people, cuts down their ideas, cuts down their success, cuts down, always finding fault with other people. Everything you see about every other person is negative. Get ready, sir. Because you are breaking a powerful spiritual rule. He said, forgive and you will be forgiven. In other words, whatever you do to people is coming back. It's a boomerang. But you need to understand the dimension in which it will come back. Because verse 38, which we quote, or 37, which we quote only when we want to get money, is more than money. See what he's talking about. It affects criticism, affects you condemning somebody else, affects forgiveness. He said, give, 38, and it will be given to you. So, criticism, condemnation, unforgiveness, everything, material things, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. You use tipper lorry to tip criticism into people's lives. Put a draw lid. You dump criticism, a lot of debt, you know, condemnation, low self-esteem. You batter somebody else's feeling, spoil their dream, finish their idea. Tell them, so it's people like you that succeed. Your road will be long. You tip all that into somebody's life. He said, the same measure that you use, the same tipper lorry, but your own, it will be pressed down, shaking together, running over. God will send other people to tip into your life. Excuse me, when Jesus says to you, when somebody curses you, bless him. He is asking you to stop this cycle of failure that is running around the society. Break this cycle. This society is not moving forward. Everybody is not moving forward. We're suffering for it. It's not working. Break the cycle. Start a new cycle of blessing. It's character that will change this country. We have money, we don't have character. That's why we're still poor. Anyway, let me turn it up. Verse 39, and he spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite. First, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eye. Isn't that interesting? There is too much busybody in around town. Everybody seems to know the solution to other people's problems. They can't solve their own. Too much gossip. Too much poking of noses into other people's matters and businesses. Face your business. Why are you concerned about the speck in your brother's eye? You know what I discovered? Until you solve your problems, you won't be able to solve other people's problems. You can't lead people until you lead yourself. What makes you an inspiration and turns you into a leader is the fact that you were able to crack your own issues. He said, leave other people alone. Why are you concerned? He said, what is in your brother's eye is a speck. The one in your own eye is a NEPA pole, PHCM pole, electric pole. That's what's sticking out of your eye. So, why are you focused? You see that even as a society, that's how we are. See how we criticize our leaders. Criticize. The people who criticized yesterday, they are the governors now. Have you seen that the intensity of the craziness and the mistake and the messing up is increasing? See this younger generation, the ones that they are not even allowed, the ones that are there now, they went to good schools. The ones that are coming, the teenagers they are preparing now, those ones are even sitting on the floor. When they become governor, this place will become a jungle. That's the point. Leave them alone. Because they represent us. The leadership in this country comes from the base. They come from among the people. They don't drop from hell. The system that produced them produced almost everybody in this system. The only way to escape that system, sir, is to walk in love. The only way to escape this Nigerian system is to walk in love, sir. The wisdom that you need to manage a company well, the wisdom that you need to manage a local government well, except you are walking in love, you can't find it. And all those special advisors and senior special advisors, they will confuse you. You see how they are doing at Aso Rock? They pass this thing today. Everybody shouts, say, hey, point out what is wrong with it. They change their mind and then shift it the other way tomorrow. That's the work of special advisor. How many special advisors did Jesus have? He didn't need, because he was love personified. His decisions were accurate. In fact, it was his disciples that were running to catch up with and understand what he was doing. Walk in love. I see something about the president of the U.S., the new president. Once he stepped in, some of the first decisions that he made, you would see he has the heart. Because he says, okay, we must pump money into the system. But listen to me. While it's okay to pump money into some of these companies so they don't crash and so people don't lose their jobs, some of this money must go directly to our citizens. They're the ones losing their homes. Okay? Let's pump money into the banks. Let's give them moratorium. Those of them, they want to foreclose their houses. Let them not pay anything for the next 1 year. Live in the house free. It's because he has the heart for the poor. If he didn't have compassion for poor people, the things around him now, the power, he has never seen anything in his life like that. What will you do? If you were the one, you choose your official car, they build it brand new, over $1 billion. The car is bomb proof. And then you begin to fly in Air Force One. Hey! Cha, cha, cha. When President Clinton came here, as his plane was landing, there was a second one that was landing. His car was inside there. As he was coming down, the car was rolling out on the tarmac. Even the car that would drive him, they flew from the U.S. That's power, sir. That, if you don't have love in your heart, that office will kill you. Why focus on the speck in your brother's eye? He says there's a plank in your own. And you don't realize that that plank is distorting the lens in your eye. That's why the speck in your brother's eye is looking bigger than it really is. Jesus said you need to remove yours first. Then you will now see clearly that what you were making noise about in your brother's eye was nothing. Face your business. Face your business. Let me just tell your neighbor, life is easy. Life is cheap. If you will do it the Jesus way, tell the person the days of failure are over. I'm sure one thing you will observe here, especially through this series, is this. If you will live life the way Jesus wants, it takes discipline, sir. The earlier you realize that you don't have the capacity, the better for you. Because God didn't call you really to do it with your power. We must continue to mention this because this looks like a lot of rules and regulations. No. Ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. Always remember, they are the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of you. They are produced. These qualities are produced by the Holy Spirit. Allow Him. But please understand, He will discipline you. He will correct you. He will mold you. In the process of your obedience, your character structure will change. It will seem like you're about to die, but actually it is the old you that you will lose. The you that will have made you to fail. That's the one you will lose. You will gain a new you. A new you will evolve. And then, after some time, you will become a spectator in your own life. Because you will now see the power, the grace of God walking through your life. You will want, I'm telling you, you don't need to work much harder. If you are working hard already, it is not by working harder that you succeed more. It is by God helping you. When the grace of God is involved in your life, you will see. He said, take my yoke upon you. So it's not, come to me, all of you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you. So it's not that you will be yoke free. When you take away this yoke of heavy labor that you are carrying, Jesus gives you another one. You are not totally free. You are not free to live a careless life. Do anything you like. That's not what Jesus promised. But he said, my own yoke is easy. And my burden is what? Light. And you will find what? Rest for your souls. I pray in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, that God will help you. He will help me. And that not only will the character of Christ be produced in our lives, what we have described tonight will become national culture in Nigeria. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In our generation, God will unleash his creative power. There will be technological breakthrough. This country will produce signs, will produce wonders. When God is looking for another Bill Gates that he will give an idea, like Microsoft, he will find that person in this church. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, God has not exhausted the ideas he wants to give. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered into the heart of any man the things that God has proposed for those who love him. But these things he has revealed unto us by his Spirit. There are things on God's mind. There's a new level. The old economy is finished. The global economy is finished. There will be a new evolution. There will be new millionaires, sir. There will be new billionaires, sir. This economic thing that is changing, it will cause some governments to collapse. There will be new governments, sir. There will be new politicians, sir. There will be new businessmen and women. There will be new ministers of the gospel, sir. An old generation is fading out. A new one is coming up. There will be new Billy Graham, sir. There will be new Benny Hinn, sir. Who are they going to be? Somebody here under the sound of my voice. People will be watching you on TV all over the world. With the power of God flowing through your life. In thousands and thousands of people being healed. I pray in the name of Jesus, the Son of God, that as God opens the heavens and anoints people, as he raises a new generation, your head will not lack oil. I prophesy in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, that as you yield yourself, allow God to kill those things, cut those things out that will not make for the fulfillment of destiny, the power of our God will rest upon you. The heavens that opened over Jesus will open over your life. The Spirit that descended on Jesus will descend upon your life. And you who used to be in obscurity, you will go about. You will do good. God will use you to deliver the oppressed of the devil. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I prophesy that the Son of God will be manifested through your life. And through you, he will destroy the works of the devil. He will break the yoke of poverty over families. Break the yoke of poverty over whole nations. Through your hand, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, my God will preserve you. While lack of character and sin is cutting short people's lives and their lifespan, I prophesy you will not die. You will live to declare the works of our God in the mighty name of Jesus. Every day, every month, every year will bring a brighter shine into your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I prophesy that in this nation, righteousness will pay you. I say righteousness will pay you. You will fulfill your destiny in style. The help of God will not be wanting in your life in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Wherever you go, God will go there with you. He will give you a mouth and a wisdom that nobody can resist. In the mighty name of Jesus, I prophesy the spirit of wisdom upon your life. Sophisticated operations of the spirit will be revealed to you. One simple step of obedience that you take in obedience to the voice of the spirit will result in massive breakthroughs in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01793-7415 or 01815-1435 or email us at contactus@daystarng.org.
Join us for any of our four services at 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at Plot A3C, Ikosi Road, Oregon, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website at www.daystarng.org.
Or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.